Moses found a wilderness. Elijah found a wilderness. And every time they found a wilderness, God provided some water, some refreshing. And how many of you have ever been dry in your faith? I heard of a guy who spent a year, and he says, I haven't heard God's voice in a year in my life. I pray every day, I seek God every day, and I just feel so dry. I know God's there, but I'm just dry. I'd sure love to have a drink. How many of you like to drink this morning? All right. Some of you already drank before you got here. Which is good, because, you know, some people come here to get a drink from the worship. Some people come here to get a drink from the Word. Can I tell you something? You ought to drink in the morning before you get here, and then when the worship and the Word comes, you're just going to kind of burst out, okay? And so that's what we're talking about today. In the beginning of our series called The Well, today's called Super Soaker Sunday. So each week, I thought what would be fun is to... I asked these guys to build me this old well, and then another gentleman, Tim, he painted this a couple nights ago. I said, give me some kind of Jerusalem desert kind of oasis. And I thought what would be fun is each week that this actually works, that we bring something up out of the well. So let's see what we have this morning out of the well. So we're going to crank this right up, and there it is. There it is. It's Super Soaker Sunday, and this is the Terminator T-1000. No, you just said, she said front row is not the place to be. No, we just saying there's no place I would rather be than here in your sights. I wouldn't arm this thing this morning. It's your last Sunday. We're going to go ahead and baptize some of you that haven't been baptized. We had a great membership class yesterday, and just a room full of great folks, so we can take care of that. I wouldn't do that. I have to tell you, Super Soaker Sunday, I was working as a youth pastor in Iowa, and we had this annual picnic carnival, and out in the parking lot, and the whole church, 1,000 people in the church, and we'd go out there, and they'd bring in fire trucks, and they had this thing where they put up on these huge poles, they have a wire across, and maybe you've seen this, where firemen do this competition, and they get four on each hose, and they have this tether, this gigantic 100-pound ball that goes on this guide wire, and they have to shoot this thing, and whoever gets it to the other end, that's who wins. And we were out there, and they said, Pastor, would you like to do this? Well, sure I would. And so I got a team together, and we had another team together, and they said, now, put on all the gear. You had to wear a helmet and a mask because this water is coming out at a PSI that'll just wipe you out. And they said, now here's the deal. You have to wear your face mask. You have to have this. You have these guys. Do not lower the hose. So the four of us in our team, we were playing, and sure enough, the minute someone says, do not lower the hose, in my mind, all I heard was, lower the hose. Because we weren't winning. We were shooting this thing, and that ball was coming across our wire. And I thought, there's one sure way to win. Lower the hose. And we lowered that hose, and the four of us barely holding on to this thing, dropped that thing down to the other team. And I mean, feet just disappeared as they just started dropping like flies. And pretty soon, they were out of the competition. Then we just shot that ball, and it went across, and we won. I thought, that ought to be the competition right there. How many of you are with me? That's the first thing you would have done, right? Why are we shooting that? We should shoot them. Super Soaker. And so that was our theme in Super Soaker. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where I feel like I'm just shooting at nothing. I feel like there's times in my life I've been in a wilderness and I've been dry. And I don't know about you, how thirsty are you for God this morning? How thirsty are you? Because if you're not thirsty, there's nothing that's going to quench that thirst. But if you're thirsty, are you drinking? Are you ready to take in the things of God? Are you ready to just absolutely open up the cup and say, God, I want more. Whatever you have, go ahead and just turn the hose on me. In fact, God, if you would today, would you just absolutely overwhelm us with the glory of heaven? How many of you are ready for a drink like that this morning? Amen? Are you ready? Because this story that we see in this woman is an amazing, amazing story. And there's a couple of things in here that make no sense, But this morning, I hope they do. Anybody looking to get soaked, anybody wanting that plunge, anyone that would love to drink of his mercy and love, then let's go ahead and open wide, because Jesus has his super soaker. He has a super dose for this woman who's not even Jewish. That's interesting. So this morning, in the story, you got your Bibles there. In John chapter 4, I want to give you six statements that'll help you to have a good drink, to help you get kind of soaked, to take it in. And if you're thirsty this morning, I'm going to give you a six-pack of scriptures, okay? And this is a six-pack you could put in your fridge, in your home, in your car, all right? The first one is this. Let's start out in verse 9. Here's the first drink that we can take in chapter 4, verse 9. It says this. The woman looks at Jesus, and she asks a question. How can I, John 4, 9? Do we have that? We don't have it. Okay. Well, you got it right there in front of you, and it says, how can you ask me for a drink? How can you ask me for a drink? Isn't that interesting? She's standing there, and Jesus comes up. There it is. You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink? Now, I think what's interesting about this, it's a great question. It's a great question. Billy Graham always asked this question. He'd say it in that North Carolina accent. Do you want Jesus? Do you want to drink him in? Do you want that in your life? And he would just kind of get this boldness, and he would just bring a fire to the house. And the question is good this morning from Mr. Graham. How can I get a drink of this? Jesus shows up and interrupts her life. And don't you know that he goes through Samaria, which is interesting in the story. How can you ask me for a drink? Here's what this means. Jews from the north end, when they want to go down to Jerusalem, would go all the way around Samaria and take an extra day of travel to get to their point. But sometimes in our lives, we need to take that shortcut and go from point A to point B. We have to go through a route that we didn't expect to. They did not like Samaritans because in 586 BC, when Babylon, modern-day Baghdad, Iraq, when the Babylonians came over, they conquered them, and when they took them all into slavery during the time of Isaiah, when they did all of this, they said, let's leave some people behind and then let them marry some of our soldiers. And these men and women will then have children, and now they're family. They won't fight against us. So they had a really interesting way of invading a country. They invaded, and then they bred. They intermarried, and they had children and grandchildren. Samaritans were the offspring of these folks in Jesus' day. The Jews hated them because they were in captivity. And while they were in captivity, these others that stayed behind worked in their vineyards, worked the jobs, ate their food, lived in freedom. They were traitors. So this woman says, how can you ask me for a drink? It's a big question. And I think we asked that question this morning because Jesus shouldn't even have been there. They don't go through Samaria. They hate them so much, these half-breeds is what they call them, that they would go all the way around an extra day just to walk. Well, Jesus is in a hurry, and he takes a shortcut. How many of you know that sometimes in our lives, we end up in places we didn't expect to, but in those places, God has divine appointments. In some of the worst places, we're not even looking for God in some places in our lives. Can I tell you, this woman wasn't even looking for God, and he shows up in a divine appointment, because here it is, it even rains in Samaria. God's blessings are coming to Samaria. How many of you have been in Samaria? Some of you are there right now. Some of you have been there. Some of you are on your way there. You're going to be in places you don't expect God to show up. But I want you to know, God wants to show up when you least expect him. But you know what? You should always expect him, because that's what God does. So in this, the first question is, how can you ask me for a drink? In other words, would you just leave me alone? You ever been there? You've been in a place and someone says, hey, are you a Christian? Oh, just leave me alone. I'm on an airplane, or I'm sitting here at the laundromat, or I'm at the beach and somebody just wants to come up and start talking to you. Or maybe you're that person and you go try to witness to them and someone looks at you and go, really? Just leave me alone. There are people who would rather be left alone in their sin and their situation then listen to you talk about hope. Because you know what? This is just the way it is. There's so many people that have resigned their lives. How many of you have resigned your life? This is just the way it is. And Jesus comes and says, it doesn't have to be this way. And you say, how can you give me a drink? Look at my sin. Look at who I am. And so there she was, by the way, at the sixth hour, which is noon. Why she's at that well in the first place, I'll never understand, because she goes in the morning, she goes in the evening. That's what they do. She's there at noon. She's not even there at the right time. And Jesus isn't supposed to be there. And here comes this divine appointment. And you know what? At the hottest point of the day, she's irritated, she's aggravated, and Jesus comes up and starts talking to her. And that's all she needs, is another man talking to her. Interesting. The second question, the second of this six-pack, is found in another verse. In verse 11, it says, "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." And I love this question. Where can you get this living water? Isn't that great? She didn't say, where can you get water? Where can you get living water? Can I tell you, the world is asking this question today. Your friends, your family, you know what people are asking? The church? Where, church, can you get this living water? And church, we have the answer. It's right here in front of us. God puts this right in front of us and says, here it is. We've got to look for the divine moments, even in Samaria. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. I want you to know something. God's blessing can rain on anyone. Jesus said, I'll rain on the just and I'll rain on the... Oh, that's not even fair. I wish we had a fair God. I wish we had a fair God. Don't you wish we had a fair God? I wish he would just come and take all these sinners and just wipe them out. All these evil people. Can I tell you something? I'm so glad that God is not fair. I don't know about you, but I'm glad God's not fair. Because if God were fair, I'm getting wiped out. And if you're just righteous enough to not get wiped out, God bless you, you can have the pulpit. Because all I know is God's not fair. He reigns on the just and the unjust. And I am so thankful that God brings his mercy and grace to a Samaritan woman. Isn't that amazing? I mean, just a chapter before this, he's at Nicodemus. He's talking to Nicodemus, a ruler, a Pharisee, a pastor, a righteous man. But he doesn't offer him a living drink of water. He offers him to be born again, and he doesn't get it. So let's go to the third one, because this is going to make sense. Are you, in verse 12, it says, are you greater than Jacob? Isn't that great? What a question. Are you greater than Jacob? I think the first thing everyone wants to know is, how do I get a drink? The second one says this, where can I find it? The third one asks this, are you greater than Jacob? You know, that's interesting in this question. I didn't quite get this, and my son was sharing an interesting insight. He said, you know what she's doing here? And I said, yeah, she's saying, are you greater than Jacob? And he had to smile and go, oh, honey, if you knew who I was, am I greater than Jacob? He said, that's not what he's saying. I mean, that's part of it. That's not what she's saying. I said, what is she saying? He said, she's saying this. Are you greater than our father Jacob? She's living her righteousness by her ancestors. Her whole life is based on her family. I said, that is good. Watch this. How many of us are trying to live our own righteousness based on where we're born or where we live or by our jobs or by our popularity and our fame? She says, listen, our father Jacob gave us this well. Are you greater than him? Look, I'm okay. I don't need your living water. I have my own righteousness. Isn't that interesting? How many of us have our own righteousness? I'm going to share something that's not in my notes. I thought about it this week. Just recently, the Secret Service, the NSA, did a test on our TSA. You know, when you go to the airport and you get violated, and you're like, really? I mean, grandmas go through airports, and it's like, yeah, we know that you're probably packing a bomb or some kind of chemical, so we're going to have to have a, we're going to have to take a picture of you, you know, hands up, and then, oh, we're going to do a cavity search and all. I just don't get that. Millions and millions of people are getting searched. So the NSA goes in, our Secret Service and all this, they do this undercover thing. Maybe you heard that this week. And they did a test. 95% of those undercover officers snuck in things to make bombs and weapons to destroy planes. 95%. And I thought to myself, that's one of the biggest failures I've ever seen in my life. Billions of dollars spent, hundreds of thousands of TSA searches, And when it really comes down to it, and I love that they post it on the news, so if there's any terrorists watching CNN, just know this, we can't stop you from bringing a bomb or a weapon on our airplanes. That's running through my mind. And then this went through my mind. What a joke. What a false sense of security. How many people have a false sense of security? You know, we think we're getting on this thing and it's safe. Oh, we're getting padded. Hey, I'll go through this inconvenience because I know that I'm going to get on an airplane that no weapons are going to get onto. And then we find out, actually, 95% failure. Which reminded me of when I was a kid in California. We had bomb drills for the atomic bomb. And when I was a kid back in the 60s and 70s, maybe some of you remember, I mean, the alarm would go off in the school and then we all had to go and do this tuck kind of thing. We all had to climb underneath our desk. How many of you did this? Maybe it was just California because we're on the West Coast. Okay, so in Michigan, they were kind of concerned, or wherever you're from. We went under our desk. We got under there. We grabbed our knees. We put our head between our knees. And we were safe from that was our atomic solution. We had a quarter-inch press board above us. But as long as we're under there with our knees tucked and our head down, we were safe. Again, a false sense of security. How many people like this woman have a false sense of security? Are you greater than Jacob? You know what? When I get to heaven, I'm not going to do everything that the pastor said or that the Bible said, but you know, when I get to heaven, it's all going to be good. Can I tell you, it's not all going to be good. I'm going to be as clear as I can here. If there's unrighteousness and sin in your life, if there are things in your life that are holding you back, if you've got dirt in your bucket instead of God's blessing in your bucket, you are not getting into heaven. But Jesus Christ pours out his overwhelming blessing through forgiveness of sins because we seek his righteousness. This woman says, "Are you greater than Jacob?" Her righteousness was in Jacob, and he's about to turn that whole thing around and put the righteousness in Jesus. How many of you are trusting in your own righteousness? Can I tell you, that's not going to get you very far. Let's not have this false sense of security. So when we get to heaven, we go, well, you know, I was a good person. I gave to the poor at Christmas. I rang the bell for the Salvation Army. I cooked a meal. I gave a gift. I helped with a golf outing to love up on some soldiers. Your good deeds are a result of your salvation. Your good deeds will not get you salvation. Okay? So that's very important. So she asked the question, are you greater than Jacob? You know what she's saying? The woman in the story represents us. And the fact that we're trying to get all that we need from what's outside by drinking it in, external salvation. The woman represents us and what I take into my life for my salvation. Jesus represents the well and what's internal, and what comes out of us for our salvation. Does that make sense? This is huge. Jacob, are you greater than what I drink? I meet people all the time. I'll tell you, people drink for a lot of reasons, don't they? They drink to feel good. They drink to take some stress away. They drink because it's hot outside. They drink for the most part, a lot of people drink for the most part, to kind of, to subdue some things. Some people drink to get drunk. But you know what? In all of it, I can tell you what you drink on the outside will never satisfy the hole on the inside. But what you take from the inside will fulfill every hole on the outside. Okay? I think that's important. There's your bumper sticker. There's your hashtag for today. Okay? Let me say that again. Think about it. People are constantly trying to fill up the internal void with an external solution. Jesus offers an internal solution for our external voids. Let me say it this way. Some of you have been drinking. You need to keep drinking with Jesus, okay? Those of you that are taking it in, well, you know what? I remember when God just blessed me. You can't live on yesterday's blessings for today's situations. You got to have a drink today. You know, I meet people all the time. They get, whether it's drugs or heavy drugs or alcohol. I meet people all the time. And you know one thing about the alcoholic that they teach in AA and that we all know about is you have to go back. You'll have a hangover, but that hangover is not worth stopping the next night drinking again because somewhere there's an internal void. And people are drinking in with sex, with money, with fame, with possessions. They're just drinking and saying, if I just had a nicer car, I'd be happy. If I had a convertible today when it was 80 degrees, I could drive down the lakeshore and I'd sure feel good. You might feel good for a moment, and trust me, pleasure may feel good for a moment, but in the long run, it's going to eat you up and it will never give you peace. Listen, you will always have that hangover, but Jesus Christ can fill you up that your hangover will be peace and joy and love. And I'll tell you, that's a hangover I want with Jesus. Amen. How many of you want that in your life? So listen, don't plan on yesterday's manna being good enough for today. Even when Moses, when I says, listen, you can grab all this stuff all you want, but tomorrow it's going to be maggots crawling in it. Why don't you just trust God for today's blessing? So when you wake up this morning, when you wake up tomorrow morning, or when you woke up today and when you wake up tomorrow, you know what? You need God's blessing for the day. You say, but I had a drink yesterday. Church was so good. Oh, the worship. Oh, the worship was phenomenal. And the testimony and the prayer. Oh, when Mike was praying, oh, you just felt heaven. Even beforehand, when Rich was praying with the worship team, I was over, I said, man, you just went 0 to 100 before church ever started. I said, this is awesome. Listen, this is awesome for today. I feel great today. I'm taking in God's blessings today. But I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning, and I need to bring in tomorrow morning's drink in my life. So bust open the six-pack, crack open a can of the Word of God, and just drink it in. Amen? That's what we need to do. So that's the third. Get a solution. The fourth one is this. I said I have a six-pack for you. Look at verse 16. Verse 16 is a strange thing. Jesus is offering her a drink, and then he says, just out of the blue, without knowing anything, he says, go get your husband. And this woman goes, excuse me? Go get your husband, and then come back. Ah, here it is. Here's where the rubber meets the road. I want God's blessing in my life, but there is no way I'm going to go and get my husband and bring him back here to you, Jesus. Some of you are thinking, oh, he's talking about that this woman has been with 5 men, and the man she's living with now is not even her husband. Oh, we know it. No, I don't think we know. He says, go get your husband and bring him back. And here's the fourth of the six-pack. Go get the garbage in your life and bring it here in front of me. Go get the things that you thought were going to satisfy you and lay them down at my feet. You need to walk away from this stuff. You cannot have your bucket filled. Your bucket cannot have the blessings of God. God can't pour a single thing in there when you look and you see all the crud and garbage and dirt that you have in your life. You got to get that and you got to dump it out and say, God, my bucket is now empty. Fill me up. I don't think we get that. Go get your husband. Oh, he wants me to repent. I do want you to repent and bring him back. Bring him back. Yeah, go get whatever you have and get rid of it at the altar. And here it is. We have the hardest time in our pride coming to the altar. I'll be honest with you this morning, Sonia. When you guys were singing that and the invitation was open and we were singing, I want more, I want more. God, pour it out, I want more. I'm thinking to myself, if in your chair or at this altar, you're not feeling that, if you're not sensing, God, pour it out, I want more. Here's my bucket. I can't understand how we're just not so overwhelmed and so blown away that that just doesn't move us to the place where I'm like, God, whatever it takes. We're so prideful as a people. We're worried about what someone else might think if we come to an altar. And Jesus said, if you don't go back and get the garbage in your life and you bring it here and lay it down at my feet, there's no way I'm going to pour those blessings out. And we think God will bless us in spite of ourselves. God will not bless you in spite of yourself. You have got to empty the garbage so he can put the good stuff in. Lay it down. How thirsty are you for the things of God? How thirsty are you for the things of the world? Pour it out. Get rid of it. Repent. Repent. You've got to, we don't like that word. Repent means I've done something wrong. You have. You climbed the wrong tree. You climbed the wrong tree. Adam got up in a tree. And the fifth thing, look at this fifth thing, Jesus cries out. This woman says, I know there's a Messiah coming. And Jesus looks and says, I am him. He didn't say that to Nicodemus. Nicodemus says, I want to get saved. This is the first time in human history where Jesus says, I am the Messiah. And he says it to a woman who's not even a Jew. You know why? This word, it says this, I who speak to you am he. It says, I, Jesus, it means salvation. His name means salvation. He says, salvation is standing right here. She says, can I have a drink? Where do I get it from? He says, right in front of your face. In fact, the Greek says, I am he. It's translated, I exist. Jesus says, salvation exists right in front of you. It's right here. Adam climbed up in a tree. God says, Adam, I love you. Here's your entire Bible. One sentence. It looks like a fortune cookie. It's not this. The entire Bible. Don't climb the tree. God shows up. He says, where are you at? He's hiding. Why are you hiding? I knew it. I broke some branches. He's going to know I was in the tree. The tree is broken. The branches are broken. The family tree is broken. Adam broke the tree. We are broken. And you know what? Because Adam broke the tree and climbed a tree, Jesus comes along 4,000 years later and he climbs a tree to fix it. Jesus climbed the tree because you and I broke the tree. So get rid of your pride and come to the foot of Jesus and pour it out, because here it is. Where can I get a drink? And he stands there and says, I, the salvation, am right here and I exist. The world should see that. We should see that. Because the last thing he says that's right in front of us, the last thing that happens is found in verse 28. It was not even in your reading. Come on up, Sonia. Let's close this. Or there you go, brother. He says, just those four words, leaving her water jar. She left her water jar. She left her water jar. That makes no sense. You don't leave your water jar. What are you going to use to drink with the rest of your life? She doesn't need to worry about it because she's got living water. She is bursting forth. Living water. Living water. She got all the help she needed. Isaiah 55:1 says this. Isaiah 55:1. Come all who are thirsty. Come to the water. You that have no money, I'm going to give you a drink. Isn't that great? So I'm going to invite you this morning. I'm going to invite you as clear as I can. Come to the water. Jesus knows all about you. You're standing there. I just want to pray with you. But I'm going to ask if, I guess as clear as I can, to lay it all down, to say, I'm going to bring it up and I'm going to lay it all down. I'm going to invite you to stand right where you're at, say, I just want to dump it out. I need to empty myself. I've got things that I just want to pour out. And I'm just going to stand before God and say, here I am. He'll find you. He always finds people, even at a well. How thirsty are you this morning for the things of God? So for the thirsty people who want to pour out the junk at the feet of Jesus and receive him and say, God, just right here, fill me up. I want to give you my life. I'm going to invite you right now, right where you're at, just to stand up. I want to pray with you. You're saying, I want to just be filled up with God. There's things I just need to pour out. I want that Super Soaker Sunday. Why not? Give your life to Jesus Christ this morning. Pride has no place in the kingdom of heaven, because pride keeps us from doing today what we're going to put off and never do. All over this place, all over this place. Look at you. Are you serious? You want to turn your life to dump the bucket out and give your life to Christ and say, God, I've been following you, but maybe like this woman who is a half-breed, maybe you've been halfway. Maybe there's just stuff, there's just junk in there. You're saying, God, I'm pouring it out this morning. That's you. You're standing. I want to pray with you. I'm going to ask you to do something that's very bold this morning. I'm going to ask you to come to this altar. Jesus always asks people to do something, to move forward. Billy Graham always says this. If you're willing to do it, you're willing to take a step out. That step out is your step of faith, to come to this altar and just to lay it down. So I'm going to ask you to step out from where you're at. I'm going to ask you to come to this altar and just to pour it out all over the place, every age, men and women. I'm just asking you right now, you just need to tell God, I'm pouring it out. You know what? On this day, this is the best day that I've had in a long time. I'd love to take the fire hose and hook it up to God's kingdom and say, God, open up the floodgates of heaven. Here I am. Here's the junk. Oh, God, here's the junk. And you know what? He didn't care about the junk. If that woman can hear, I'll give you a drink. Just tell him right now, Father, I'm thirsty. Father, forgive me for the things in my life. Today I pour it out at this altar. God, you know what it is. I pour it out. I'm so sorry. God, I'm so sorry. I want you in my life. I am thirsty, and I want a drink. I want a drink from you. Without cost, I will give to anyone, Jesus said, who is thirsty. So, Lord, fill my life. Fill me up. Right now, fill me up. By faith, I receive it. By faith, God, right now, I'm receiving your blessing. My bucket is empty, and it's only got room for you. So here I am, Lord. I'm a new man. I'm a new woman. Today's a new day because I'm leaving my jars behind, and I'm moving forward. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. I am praying for you guys. My heart goes out to you. I'm going to let you go back to your seats. I have one announcement as we close and have a benediction. God bless you for your faith. Can we give God a hand this morning for what he's done? Here it is, your act of faith. The Lord just put on my heart this summer. We spend way too much time just preaching without looking for results or giving people an opportunity. This summer, we're going to see folks getting saved and giving their lives to the Lord. We're going to baptize folks. We're going to go down to the water and we're going to baptize folks. We're going to drink from the well all summer long. It's time to be filled with the things of God. I'm going to ask, she doesn't know it, where are they at? Lance and Lindsay, come on up. And the Frasers, real quick, I just have one announcement. They don't know. We had to kind of keep this from them. You guys, you can keep playing. That's fine. Don't go anywhere. I like the music. It's kind of nice. Hold on to that for the next service. Come on up, Lance and Lindsay and Jacob. They don't know we're doing this. They thought they were just coming in to help keep the second service people from eating the first service people's food. I asked them to come here, and then some of their best friends are board members and part of their home group. Lindsay, I've known Lance and Lindsay since they were in high school. They met in our youth program. They got married. They've got a beautiful son, Jacob, who's going to just tear it up for God one day. And they're expecting, here in a couple of months, their second son. And third son, actually. And God is so good to you guys. Lindsay worked for me at my last church for about 5 or 6 years. And here now it's been over 5 years, almost 6 years. And they made a decision a few weeks ago, just praying about it, and it's our loss, but not totally our loss. She works with our and leads our Awanas programs, but she's been my secretary and administrator for a long, long time and does such a phenomenal job. And we just, as a church, wanted to appreciate you. So we have a gift for you. We actually have a couple gifts, but you can go ahead and open that up. And this is just our way of expressing our love for a worker who's going to be a stay-at-home mom now and raise these boys, all of them, and even the big ones. And this is a praying woman statue, and it basically is this, the woman who seeks God. And we just wanted to share that because I know that you, Bible open, just kind of meditating at a rock. I know you're a godly woman, and I know your husband and your family appreciate you. And we have no way of completely expressing how much we love you, but we just wanted to do that. And Jessica came to me and said, hey, let's do that. And we have a gift for you, too, for you guys to go away maybe for a weekend somewhere. And those $5 ought to get you down the road. It's just our way of loving up on you and saying thank you. Her last time's going to be in the next couple weeks. And then she gets to enjoy her family. And this season, so important. And we just want to pray with you and pray for you guys for this season of your life. Heavenly Father, a staff that's changing seasons, not changing churches. someone who, a family who's poured into this ministry for years and years, and there are children and adults and people and home groups that love you because of their heart. Thank you for Lindsay and her family. We ask, God, your blessing over these boys. We ask your blessing over their lives in the service to your kingdom, God, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Make sure you express that to them. Would you stand with us in our benediction? And I'm going to pray my way out. And my wife and I and Sonia and Pastor Justin, why don't you guys make your way? We're going to make our way out. We're going to be next door. Come get a breakfast burrito, a sandwich. Even if it's 5 minutes, come say hi. Introduce yourself. Meet some new folks. This is our chance to just kind of have a fellowship. So we have some brunch for the next 30 minutes right across hall. Father, let this be our blessing that you are good to us. And so we, God, want to be good to you. So, Father, today instead of blessing us, we bless you. Here's our lives. Use it as you see in the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.